Hello, everyone. Today I'm joined by Michael Bernard, a serial non-executive director on multiple boards. Michael's got a great background on a variety of different industries. Michael, if I could ask you just to introduce yourself and your current roles, that would be super. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I come from a background where much of my career I spent working for IBM, and my last role there was chief marketing officer for hardware in Europe. And as I finished that part of my career, I was involved on IBM's behalf with a couple of organizations at board and advisory level, and realized that this was something I very much wanted to pursue, having finished that part of my career. So over time, I've started work on a number of charities. I used to be the chair of a private school, and now I'm a non-executive director in an NHS foundation trust. I'm on the board of the Royal Humane Society. I'm an advisor to Exeter Business School, and also a board advisor to a small company working on mental health apps. And lastly, an executive volunteer for Arctic Base Camp, which works on environmental concerns for large business. So it's a very mixed and enjoyable portfolio.
I was going to say, gosh, that's quite a variety of roles and organizations to be working across. It must be very enjoyable.
But the one thing that they all have in common is I really enjoy working in those roles. I'm working with some delightful and very talented people, and my interest there is just how can I bring value to each of the organizations in different ways.
Right. At Admin Control, we work with over 6,500 boards across the world. And today's interview is really just to explore some of the issues that are facing some of our clients. And so we'll be asking some questions around geopolitical issues, ESG, managing board dynamics, etc. So we'll just run through some questions with you. We work with over 6,000 boards in our organization, and I don't think anybody's got a clear position on ESG at this point. There is no simple solution to saying this is our measurement framework, these are the issues we must address. But yes, we see it as being an increasingly important issue for a number of our clients.
And I think what I would say, David, is that I think the role here of non-executive directors and advisors is very much to question the boards, to say how do you know that you are doing what you need to do and making the differences you need to make. I think that's a really important role here, because there's, as you say, there's little experience in this space, not many people who've got a great track record of doing it. And so it's very important that people on the board are challenging regularly, so that this is not just shoved to the too difficult pile, but becomes front and center of the board discussions.
And I guess this is an interesting aspect of it. This is where the board can show leadership to the executive teams and the leadership teams that are reporting to the board, that they take these things seriously. And so there is a leadership role required for executive and non-executive directors in this space, do you feel?
But very, very much so. And this is, there are some immediate questions, if you like, around the societal and governance things that are required, if you like, by regulation or by sometimes indeed from consumer or retailer demand. But there are longer term issues where if you don't get started now, then there's going to be the most awful crash to try and catch up with this at a later point. So again, the non-executive teams have got to be very clear about the need to take this seriously right now, and not think that it's a problem that can be solved later by the invention of some technology that doesn't yet exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true. I'm going to move our conversation slightly away from kind of bigger issues such as ESG, more into the dynamics of how an effective board works. And I guess one of the questions that a lot of people come up with is, how do you manage the different personality types within a board environment, from non-executive and executive directors?
In order to make them
high performing.
Always a really, really good discussion. I think the first fundamental prerequisite is to have the right people in the board, where everybody has been chosen and selected for the particular contribution that they will make. it doesn't mean that everybody has to get on with everybody else, and it absolutely means that you need to have a board where there is diversity of thought, there's diversity of insight, there's diversity of experience, and that should bring robust discussion, because people will deliver those insights that come from very different angles and should inform the board discussions. But it does mean equally you've got to ensure that robust discussions don't turn into overheated ones. You've got to make sure that the people who are maybe less experienced or a little bit less confident can also be heard, because often their contributions are vital. But overall, the chemistry needs to work well enough for the board to function as a team and not as disparate groups of views. It's got to be a good team.
Yes, and actually the variety of voices is really important, because you don't need a homogenous viewpoint from the board. You actually want to be challenged from different perspectives, I should imagine.
I would hate to see a board that is homogenous in its viewpoint. That would be a very dangerous thing.
And I guess that takes me on to, you sit on a number of very interesting boards in different sectors and different industries, some of them charitable, some of healthcare related. Do you find much difference between the different sectors upon which you're working? So from healthcare to education, to other charities, for example, or do you find that the roles of the non-executive director are fairly standard, embedded within company law and must be adhered to on that basis?
I would say there's the basic stuff that everybody has to do, that as you say is embodied in the law surrounding what we do. Sometimes we need to be reminded that's the case. And for example, it's very easy for people, for example, without a financial background, to slightly lean on those who have more expertise and to not ask the difficult questions. And I think that is something which is always worth being reminded of. But there clearly are differences in different sectors. So I would say the biggest difference in the education sector, for example, is the extreme focus on safeguarding, which becomes such an important element of what every board member has to think about. It's also true in the NHS, but it's more of a balanced view across different elements that are not quite so focused on safeguarding. I don't mean that it's not important, it's hugely important, but probably even more important than that is the delivery of patient outcomes. Are we really improving the population health? Are we delivering the best services to the people who call upon our services? And then are the carers and families experiencing all the benefits of what we can and should be doing? And that's quite different from what you'd see in the commercial world. You could translate it to a certain extent to say it's a customer focus, but it does operate in a different way and it is not the same thing. So there are differences as well as obviously things that have to be done in common.
And I'm going to talk about now the role of the company secretary, or in the NHS case, the board secretary, and really from a non-executive director's point of view, I'm interested in your insights as to what do you think makes a good and effective board stroke company secretary?
I've been very lucky to have worked with a couple of people I really regard as outstanding in this respect. I think one has to take it for granted that they're going to have a really good understanding and expertise in governance for that organisation and for that sector. But the best ones, I believe, will anticipate the needs of the board. They will speak truth to power, as the saying goes, when necessary. They will help new members of the board to navigate the mechanics of the way the board works, but also they'll quietly advise them maybe a little bit on the politics. And I think the success of a good board secretary is in the lack of drama and the lack of visibility of that individual, where the functioning of the board becomes very smooth and the mechanics don't get in the way of the information and decision-making that needs to go on.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, over the past 2 to 3 years, obviously with the impact of COVID-19, having, you know, working remotely from a board member's viewpoint, how did you cope with working remotely during a lockdown period as a board member? How did your boards run effectively at that point?
It's difficult. And clearly for a considerable period of time, all of our meetings were virtual meetings. They worked, but the virtual meetings, I think we all know, lack that extra spark that comes from an in-person meeting. Yes. Where it's the opportunity to have some discussions before and after the meeting, during the coffee breaks, where you can start to just have a few sidebar conversations with individuals that set things up for future conversations or nudge things in a particular direction. So I think it can work. And if I look at many of the organizations, we still have some virtual meetings because the convenience is fabulous, saves us on travel, saves us on time. But the board meetings, as opposed to committee meetings, probably are still held in person. One organization I've been working in has a board member in Hong Kong, and that individual is hugely experienced and valuable. So the timing of the meetings tends to move to accommodate that. And, you know, we get the benefit of, again, a very different set of insights from somebody from a different perspective. So there are all kinds of flexibilities that we pull into play to get the right contributions from the right individuals. But it does boil down to regular board meetings in person where you possibly can.
Interesting. Well, Michael, I'm going to start to wrap up our short interview here. I'm just intrigued to know what do you feel as if the major issue or issues facing boards over the next 12 to 18 months are going to be?
Goodness. I think we've mentioned some of them already. I think that finding the right people is continuing to be a really tough thing to do. It's very hard, and there's a lot of competition for the really good quality individuals, whether it's at board level or whether it's just throughout the organization at any level. I think boards will continue to have to focus very carefully on their balance sheets and how they're managing the expense, because there's no doubt this is a tough and challenging financial time, and everybody's got to really ask the difficult questions and don't assume that just because the numbers look good on top that you shouldn't be probing underneath.
Interesting.
But then I think that the area for all of us to look at for the future is how do we build a sustainable organization? And sustainable in every sense. So it's an organization that has the strategy to take it through for the foreseeable future, which understands the risks that the organization faces and what you're going to do to mitigate them, how the organization plays its part in creating a sustainable environment, managing its carbon emissions, its pollution, its environmental contributions, and then becomes a good citizen in the world in which we operate. So it's some short-term challenges and also some long-term ones, but I think those are the ones we'll all need to focus on.
Yeah, I really like that term, a good citizen. That's a really nice way to kind of summarize the activities that we've discussed, from ESG right through to recruitment and dealing with high interest rates and inflation. Michael, I really appreciate your time today. It's been a really interesting chat, and thanks again.
You're very welcome.